compared to the little bit of last week. Today, I was led by an angel to the chasm of hell. It's a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of tortures I saw, the first torture that constitutes hell is a loss of God. The second is perpetual remorse of conscience. The third is that one's condition will never change. The fourth is the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it. A terrible suffering, since it is a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. The fifth torture is continual darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. And despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and all the evil, both of others and their own. The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. The seventh torture is terrible despair, hatred of God, wild words, curses, and blasphemies. These are the tortures suffered by all the damned together. But that's not the end of sufferings. There are special tortures destined for a particular soul. These are the tones of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which it has sinned. There are caverns and pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the sight of these tortures. If the omnipotence of God had not supported me, let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made use to sin. I'm writing this at the command of God, so that no soul may find an excuse by saying there is no hell, or that nobody has ever been there, and so no one can say what it is like. I, Sister Faustina, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify it to its existence. I cannot speak about it now, but I have received a command from God to leave it in writing. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had obeyed me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things I saw. But notice one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieved that there is a hell. When I came to, I could hardly recover from the fright. How terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I incessantly plead God's mercy upon them. O my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the world amidst the greatest sufferings than offend you by the least sin. from Jesus. My daughter, if I demand through you that people revere my mercy, you should be the first to distinguish yourself by this confidence in my mercy. I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. You must not shrink from this or try to excuse or absolve yourself from it. I'm giving you three ways of exercising mercy towards a neighbor. The first, that by deed. The second, by word. The third, by prayer. In these three degrees is contained the fullness of mercy. And it's an unquestionable proof of love for me. By this means, a soul glorifies and pays reverence to my mercy. Yes, the first Sunday after Easter is the Feast of Mercy, but there must also be acts of mercy. And I demand the worship of my mercy through the solemn celebration of the feast and through the veneration of the image which is printed. By means of this image, I shall grant many graces to souls. It is to be a reminder of the demands of my mercy, because even the strongest faith is of no avail with their works. O my Jesus, you yourself must help me in everything, because you see how very little I am, and so I depend solely on your goodness. O God, particular examine, union with the merciful Christ. With my heart, I encompass the whole world, especially countries which are uncivilized or where there is persecution. I'm praying for mercy upon them. Two general resolutions. First, to strive after inner silence, and to observe the rule of silence strictly, not only not to speak, but even mentally, just keep, not just wondering, just keep Jesus always inside. Second, faithfulness to interior inspirations, to bring them into my life and actions according to the advice of the spiritual director. In this present illness, I decide to glorify the will of God. I will try as far as I am able to take part in all the community exercises. I will give the Lord God fervent thanks for every sorrow and suffering. I often feel that apart from Jesus, I get no help from anyone. Although sometimes I am very much in need of clarifications concerning the demand of the Lord. This evening, I suddenly received light from God regarding certain matter. For 12 years, I've been reflecting on a certain matter and could not understand it. Today, Jesus gave me to know how much that had pleased him. October 25th, 1936, the Feast of Christ the King. During Holy Mass, I was so enveloped in the great interior fire of God's love and the desire to save souls that I do not know how to express it. I feel I am all aflame. I shall fight all evil with the weapon of mercy. I'm being burned up by the desire to save souls. I traverse the world's length and breadth, and venture as far as its ultimate limits and its widest land to save souls. I do this through prayer and sacrifice. I want every soul to glorify the mercy of God, for each one experiences the effect of that mercy on himself. The saints in heaven worship the mercy of the Lord. I want to worship it even now, here on earth, and to spread devotion to it in the way that God demands of me. I've understood that at certain and most difficult moments, I shall be alone, deserted by everyone, and that I must face all the storms and fight with all the strength of my soul, even with those from whom I expect to get help. But I am not alone, because Jesus is with me, and with him I fear nothing. I am well aware of everything, and I know what God is demanding of me. Suffering, contempt, ridicule, persecution, and humiliation will be my constant lot. I know no other way. For sincere love, ingratitude, that is my path, marked out by the footprints of Jesus. If you do something good, people take it the other way around. Contempt, they don't respect, they don't like it. You feel failed. But that's the way of Jesus, and we are all called for this. I've understood that certain and most beautiful moments I shall be alone, deserted by everyone, and that I must face all the storms and fight with all the strength of my soul, even with those whom I expected to get help. But I'm not alone, because Jesus is with me, and with him I fear nothing. I'm well aware of everything, and I know what God is demanding of me. Suffering, contempt, ridicule, persecution, and humiliation will be my constant lot. I know no other way. For sincere love, ingratitude, this is my path, marked out by the footprints of Jesus. My Jesus, my strength and my only hope, in you alone is my hope. My trust will not be frustrated. The day of renewal of vows, Friday, October 9th, or October 30th, 1936. God's presence pervades my soul, not only in a spiritual way, but I feel it in a physical way alone also. On November 2nd, 1936. In the evening after Vespers, I went to the cemetery in the Sisters Park. I had been praying for a while when I saw one of our sisters who said to me, "We are in the chapel." I understood that I was to go to the chapel and there pray and again and gain indulgences. The next day, during Holy Mass, I saw three white doves soaring from the altar toward heaven. I understood that not only three souls that I saw had gone to heaven, but also many others who had died beyond the confines of our institute. Oh, how good and merciful is the Lord. Conversation with Father Andres at the end of the retreat, I was greatly surprised by one thing that I had noticed during each conversation, in the course of which I had asked advice and direction of Father Andres, and it is this. I noticed that Father Andres answered all my questions about things which the Lord has asked of me so clearly and with such assurance that it was as though he were experiencing it all himself. Oh my Jesus, if only there were more spiritual directors of this kind, souls under such guidance would very quickly reach the summits of sanctity and would not waste such great graces. I give unceasing thanks to God for so great a grace, namely that in his great God goodness he has deigned to place these pillars of light along the path of my spiritual life. They light my way so that I do not go astray or become delayed in my journey toward close union with the Lord. I have a great love for the church, which educates souls and leads them to God. October 31st, 1936, conversation with Mother General. When I was talking to Mother General about the question of my leaving the order, I received this answer: if Jesus demands of you that you leave this congregation, let him give me some sign that this is his will. Sister, pray for such a sign, because I'm worried lest you should fall prey to some illusion. Prudent. On the other hand, I would not want to hinder or oppose the will of God, for I too want to do the will of God. And so we agreed that I will still remain just as I am until such time as the Lord will let Mother General know that he demands that I leave this congregation. And so the matter was put off for a while. And so you see, to God, Jesus, that everything is now up to you. I'm perfectly at peace despite these great urgings. For my part, I've done everything, and it is now your turn, my Jesus. In this way, your cause will be made apparent. I'm totally in accord with your will. Do with me as you please, O Lord, but only grant me the grace of loving you more and more ardently. This is what is most precious to me. I decide nothing but you, O love eternal. It matters not along what paths you will lead me, paths of pain or paths of joy. I want to love you at every moment of my life. If you tell me to live, O Jesus, in order to carry out your will, I will live. If you tell me to stay, I will stay. It matters not what I will suffer in the one instance or the other. O my Jesus, if I live, I know what I shall have to suffer and endure. I agreed to this with full awareness, and I have already accepted it by an act of will. It does not matter what the chalice holds for me. It is now for me to know that it has been given to me by the loving hand of God. If you tell me to turn back and stay, I will stay in spite of all the interior urgings. If you still keep me in my soul and leave me in this inner agony even to the end of my life, accept this in the full consciousness of my will, in loving submission to you, O my God. He's always ready, you know. No matter go or not go, stay or not stay, just always be at peace. That's important. Many times, this, if not this, feel bad. But not the time yet. We have to stay always in the will of God. Not yet, it's still the way of God. The will of God is not yet. If I stay, I shall hide myself in your mercy, my God, so deeply that no human eye will see me. Throughout my life, I want to be a thurible filled with hidden fire. And may the smoke rising up to you, O living host, be pleasing to you. I feel in my own heart that every sacrifice arouses the fire of my love for you, but in such a silent and secret way that no one will detect it. So kind of interior journey, not to show into everyone that she has all the inspiration. She tell herself you have to be hidden. One or two Mother General that the Lord wanted the congregation to say the chapel in order to propitiate God's anger. Mother told me that at present she could not introduce new prayers that had not yet been approved, but give me the chaplet. But the mother said, but give me the chaplet, sister. Perhaps it can be said during an adoration. We shall see. It would be good if Father Sopoko could publish a pamphlet with the chaplet. Then it would be better and easier to recite it in the congregation, for it is a bit difficult to do so now. So it's always easy. You know, even say some form of prayer, the chaplet Divine Mercy, to wait. The mercy of the Lord is praised by the holy souls in heaven, who have themselves experienced that infinite mercy. What these souls do in heaven, I already will begin to do here on earth. I praise God for his infinite goodness, and I will strive to bring out our souls to know and glorify the inexpressible and incomprehensible mercy of God. So she said, we allow him to live in heaven. Adoration, praising, thanking, the heart, emotion towards the Lord, always, not only in heaven, not in the future, right now. Your soul is already ready, even though we have all the pain, sufferings, together. Not because I have sufferings and I have to stop my prayer. No. No matter what, the disposition of the heart of our soul is very important. Always. No matter you go home, in the church, or in the classrooms, with the people you know, or with people you don't like, everywhere, you'll just be another Jesus. And a child of God, nothing else. We are born from God. One day we go back to God, the Father. But before that, always like a child of God. We live not for our own self. Jesus never lived for himself. Always for people. Even suffering, God the Father, for the glory of God, we praise. So always try to live this, getting out of our self, old self. This is what St. Paul says, live the old self every day and live the new self of Christ. The mercy of the Lord is praised by the holy souls in heaven who have themselves experienced that infinite mercy. What these souls do in heaven, I really will begin to do here on earth. I will praise God for his infinite goodness, and I will strive to bring all other souls to know and glorify the inexpressible and incomprehensible mercy of God. Who is this God? Merciful God. God of mercy. The Lord's promise. The souls that say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime and especially at the hour of their death. So the chaplet Divine Mercy is helping it for good ending of our life. Oh my Jesus, teach me to open the bosom of mercy and love to enough to everyone who asks for it. Jesus, my commander, teach me so that all my prayers and deeds may bear the seal of your mercy. November 8th, 1936. I tried to make all my exercises before benediction, because I was feeling more ill than usual. So I went to bed directly after benediction. But when I entered the bedroom, I suddenly knew in theory that I should go to the cell of certain sister. because she was in need of help. I entered her cell at once, and that sister said to me, "Oh, how good it is that God has brought you here, sister." And her voice was so faint that I could hardly hear her. She said to me, "Sister, please bring me some tea with lemon, because I'm terribly thirsty and I cannot move because I am in such pain." And truly, she was suffering very much and had a high fever. I made her more comfortable, and she was able to quench her thirst with a little bit of tea that I brought her. When I entered my own cell, my soul was engulfed by the great love of God, and I understood that we should take great heed of our interior inspirations and follow them faithfully, and that faithfulness to one grace draws down others. So you leave this grace better, say another grace is coming. She was so tired, she was ready to go to bed, and just an instant of inspiration, go there, go see her. And then November 19th, 1936, during Holy Mass, I saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me, "Be at peace, my daughter. I see your efforts, which are very pleasing to me." And the Lord disappeared, and it was time for Holy Communion. After I received Holy Communion, I suddenly saw the cenacle, and in it, Jesus and the apostles. I saw the institutions of Most Blessed Sacrament. Jesus allowed me to penetrate his interior, and I came to know the greatness of his majesty and at the same time his great humbling of himself. The extraordinary night then allowed me to see his majesty revealed to me at the same time what was in my own soul. Jesus came me to know the depth of his meekness and humility, and to understand that he clearly demanded the same of me. I felt the gaze of God in my soul. This filled me with unspeakable love, but I understood that the Lord was looking with love on my virtues and my heroic efforts, and I knew that this was what was drawing God into my heart. Humility, prayer, you know, that's attract God. God's attracted by us. Purity of intention, purity of love, and that attracts the Lord. So Jesus loved for sinner for certain, because Jesus, for sinner show a true love. The same as for us. Don't tell yourself only for Faustina. No, we are all Faustina, another Faustina in certain sense. I knew that this was what I was bringing God into my heart. It is from this that I have come to understand that it is not enough for me to strive only for the ordinary virtues, but that I must try to exercise the heroic virtues. Although exteriorly a thing may be quite ordinary, it is a different manner in which it is carried out that only the eye of God catches. Oh my Jesus, what I have written is just a pale shadow of what I understand in my soul. These are purely spiritual things, but in order to write something of what the Lord gives me to know, I must use words with which I am totally dissatisfied, because they do not express the reality. So what we hear is just part of truth. For her, is not the whole truth, because it cannot express with words. It's interior light. How can you express the feeling, the closeness with the Lord? If we really have experienced this unity with the Lord, how can we say, we can express, even you feel something, you can express. Even the best poem cannot express the relationship. You know? Even human, among humans, you can express how much you love this person, how much he loves you. You can express verbally. When I experienced these sufferings for the first time, it was like this. After the annual vows, on a certain day, during prayer, I saw great brilliance and issuing from the brilliance rays which completely enveloped me. Then suddenly I felt terrible pain in my hands, my feet, and my side, and the thorns of the crown of thorns, the stigmata, those holes Jesus experienced. That's a stigmata, no? I experienced these sufferings during Holy Mass on Friday, but this was only for a brief moment. This was repeated for several Fridays, and later on, I did not experience any sufferings up to the present time. That is up to the end of the September of this year. In the course of the present illness, during Holy Mass, one Friday, I felt myself peace by the same sufferings, and this has been repeated on every Friday, and sometimes when I meet a soul that is not in a state of grace. Although this is infrequent and the suffering lasts a very short time, still it is terrible. I would not be able to bear it without special grace from God. There is no outward indication of these sufferings. What will come later, I do not know. All this for the sake of souls.